Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today. Now, just to let you know, I'm probably going to sound a bit different because I am fighting a nasty head cold, so sorry about that. Today's podcast episode is being sponsored by a bereaver couple who wish to remain anonymous. Now, this dad wrote a precious and powerful message they would like to have shared as their sponsorship. But before I read that, I received in a separate email some things about their daughter Cassandra that I would like to share with you first. Now, he wrote in an email to me, "We are so grateful that God lent her to us. She was, and most likely still is, a vessel of His light and love in every setting. Cassandra was recognized for her selflessness and won awards for her inspiration and character. The year after she passed, the high school girls' soccer created a trophy in her honor to be awarded each year to the player with the most character. It became the most coveted award, even above most valuable player. They retired her jersey, number 24, and started a team chant of score for 24. A couple years later, the girls' soccer team won the state championship and gave us a championship ring because of her inspiration to the team, even after she went to dwell again with God. As wonderful as that is from our earthly perspective, I am certain that she is even more excited that some of her friends got baptized at the lake we live on the following 2 years." Now, that's a little bit about Cassandra that I wanted you, our listeners, to hear. Now, this is what this grieving father wrote that he wants to be shared for sponsoring this podcast episode. "A little over 4 years ago, God chose for our 17-year-old daughter, Cassandra Noel, to come dwell with Him. My knees buckled and my heart completely shattered. I have been processing our losing her every night and every day since then. It is much like taking a 10,000-piece puzzle and scattering the pieces on the floor of a dark room, absent of any light, and attempting to assemble those pieces. As I persist to try to get some pieces to fit, every now and then I manage to find a few that connect. When that happens, a dim shimmer of God's light comes in that offers hope to better be able to continue to try assembling the pieces. As time goes on, I manage to assemble a few more pieces in the dim light, and the light grows less dim, though yet far, far from seeming bright enough for me to ever understand the puzzle. My hope grows, and I recognize God's presence, just as Scripture tells us. I also recognize that it is up to me to allow more of His light to come in if I want to make progress with this puzzle and keep hope alive. Though I continue to make some progress in assembling this puzzle and see His light illuminate a bit more each time I get some pieces to fit, I am resolved that I will not fully get this puzzle complete until my last breath. When that moment comes, I know I will hear a familiar, excited voice exclaim, 'Dad, I've been waiting for you. Come, let me introduce you to Jesus.' Oh, what a celebration that will be, and it will be forever and ever and ever and ever." Oh, thank you for writing that and sharing that. Isn't that powerful? And thank you to this couple for sponsoring today's episode in honor of Cassandra and for what you shared. Now, I have been wanting to talk about heaven for a while with all of you, and how this dad ended what he wrote made it feel like the perfect time to do this. We are so caught up in the earthly realm that we can easily forget we are citizens of heaven. Now, I know with our children there in heaven, it's a lot easier for us to remember that and think about that, right? Now, as a bereaver, I do have three things that I think are important about the subject of heaven that I want to share with you today. First, being a spiritual person does not automatically erase the painful effects of our child leaving this earth ahead of us. Knowing that our child is in heaven and that we will see him or her again someday in glory does not bring a God-sized eraser and take away all the pain. We know that there are people, you've probably had someone come up to you and say, well, at least you know they're in heaven now, or they're in a better place now. And that doesn't help, does it? Because we want them here with us right now. That doesn't help ease our pain, knowing where they are, knowing the glory that they're in, at least not at first, not when it's really raw with us. I know it took me a long time, and I was just sharing this past Saturday with a group of grieving people. It was a love and loss luncheon, and you may have heard me say this before, but it took me a long time. I was more excited about seeing Becca in heaven than I was Jesus. And I told a friend that about a year after Becca died, and she said, but Laura, you've made a deposit there. And I thought that was so precious. And it was a little bit later that God reminded me of the verse that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And so it's okay for our hearts to be in heaven with our child. I love what this dad wrote, that when he gets to heaven, how excited he is that his daughter is going to be there and say, let me introduce you to Jesus. And I do think that, you know, Jesus is the one that made it possible for us to be reunited with our children and the other ones that we love again. And I think Jesus's love for us is so precious and so pure, and he is so humble that I can see Jesus stepping back and allowing us to get a hug from our children first. And just picturing Jesus, the joy it gives him to know that he's the one that made this happen for us to be reunited. And then we turn to him and just fall at his feet and hug him and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for letting this, making this happen. But like I said, even thinking of all that is to come, it doesn't take away the pain of now, does it? Now, it might ease some as time goes by, but it doesn't totally remove it. Now, the second thing I did mention, you know, in talking about how our children being in heaven, introducing us to Jesus, being excited to see them, the second thing is that some parents have a fear of not knowing if their child is in heaven, and that might be something that's not a comfort to you. And I want to share something that will hopefully set you free in this area, if that's you. I believe that God is big enough and he has enough love, so much love for your child, that he has made every opportunity possible for your child to accept him before leaving this earth. Now, this could have easily happened during a time you don't know anything about. It could have happened years ago. Maybe they aren't living for the Lord, but their heart turned to God years ago and, you know, things happened, but underneath there's still a love for the Lord. Even in rebellion, the Lord knows our heart. The Lord knows our deepest cry. And it could have even happened at the exact moment of death. Why wouldn't Jesus come to our child or to anyone in that moment of crossing over and appear and say, will you receive me now? Will you receive my love for you now? And our child said yes and went to heaven with him. Not having the information you want does not mean it didn't happen at some point in your child's life. You can either live in fear that your child is not there, or you can live in faith that God made a way, even at that last second, for your child to join him in heaven, and he or she is there waiting for you. Don't live in that fear. Fear brings torment. That's not from God. Live in faith that God knew your child's heart even more than you did, and that your child is there waiting because they took the opportunity at some point and said yes. Now, the third thing is that I already touched on, I got ahead of myself, okay? You're not a terrible person for having a stronger desire to get to heaven to see your child than to see Jesus. It's Matthew 6:21 that says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be there also." Now, I love to picture Becca in heaven. I imagine her talking with famous people, hearing her laughter just ring out, helping people decorate. She had the gift of hospitality, and if you asked her to put something together, she would always go above and beyond whatever you thought you were going to get for that party or that event. I can't wait to see how she is decorating my place for when I get there. I picture her meeting me and showing me around, seeing her walk on both of her legs since she lost her left leg when she was 3 years old. It was amputated. So she hasn't had two legs since she was 3 years old. I can't wait to see her with both of her legs. Just all the places and the things that she's going to show me. Can you imagine getting up in heaven and having someone like the Apostle Paul come up to you and say, "Oh my goodness, I just have to tell you something your child said," or something they did that was so funny, or whatever. I mean, that is going to be absolutely incredible. Now, I recently asked in one of my weekly Word of Hope emails how you picture your child in heaven, and I want to share some of your responses. One mom says, "I picture Aaron fishing, snowmobiling, four-wheeling, hunting, swimming, anything and everything outdoors." Another mom said, "I think about Jeanette in heaven often. I wonder what it's like to never think about time and always have enough time for everything. I think about all the fun things there are to do. Then there's her mansion with a big kitchen fitted for baking lots of goodies and a big table right there in the kitchen for serving waffle breakfasts and other meals to her friends. And she has lots of friends, including Becca, and plenty of family. And she has all the time and materials for all the arts and crafts she wants to do. I'm sure she's had tea with C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, even though they have tea with many other people. But there again, it matters that there's always time for everything and everyone. She has her own personal time to be with Jesus, too. He's never too busy for one-on-one time with each and every person. How that works, I don't know, but I'm sure it's true. Of course, there's worship time in the throne room, which is never, ever boring or perfunctory, but pure joy and delight. But every moment in heaven is worship, no matter what she's doing or what's happening. Then there's the children who have gone to heaven. They need to go to school just like kids here, so I see Jeanette still being a teacher. There are always things to learn, so Jeanette also goes to classes, seminar, and workshops too. I also see Jeanette walking in the woods that surround my mansion and looking forward to walking there with me. I think she's helping decorate both mine and Dennis's mansions and leaving works of her art in various rooms for us. She can hardly wait to show us around, but since there's no time in heaven, she's not impatient for us to get there. Unlike our sense of impatience and waiting for our reunion and to find out how accurate my imagination is, and that's how I think of Jeanette in heaven." Woo, that's loaded, isn't it? Could you relate to any of that? I just love that. Here's the last one I'm going to read to you. "As I think about what he would be doing in heaven, I imagine he would be playing a lot of games, board games, cracking jokes, doing pranks on others like he would do to his four sisters, like putting veggies in his 8-year-old sister's hot chocolate and then giving it to her, or give her a bowl of mozzarella balls and ask if she wanted some vanilla ice cream. I imagine he may be running around playing games like tag as he liked to do when he was little. In his college years, he loved to work out at the gym. Maybe he would give piggyback rides while doing push-ups like he did with Bella, his little sister, or have little kids hang on his arms while he would do bicep curls like he did for Bella. Most of all, I would like to imagine him laughing, being full of complete joy and in his full glory and free from striving and wondering if he is enough, because he would be complete being in the presence of our Almighty God in Jesus. I can't wait to see him in heaven. I'm so happy to be getting older and older and getting closer and closer to seeing Nathan in heaven." This one says, I picture our son Bailey in heaven, hiking in the mountains, fishing in the streams, running through the fields, and hanging out and helping with all the children in heaven. Our sweet boy was only 22 years old when he entered heaven's gates. He was our youngest child and our blessing baby, as we thought we were done having children, yet God chose to bless us with his precious baby boy. Not a day goes by that I don't think of him and miss him so much my heart hurts. I do long for the day when I will see him again in heaven. I know he will be standing right next to Jesus and will be jumping up and down, ready and excited to show me all the glories of heaven. These are just so good. I don't know, to think about what our kids are doing. And I know some of you may think, how could you possibly think they'd be playing board games or teaching school in heaven? But don't you think that heaven is going to be full of the things that we loved here? I mean, it's eternity. So why wouldn't it be the things that we love the best and the most here, the things God put in us to love and be excited about, that it's going to be even greater up there? I mean, we don't know for sure, but whatever it is, we know it's going to be fantastic. So what about you? How do you picture your child in heaven? Just feel free to share it on our website under this podcast episode. It's gpshope.org/podcast/284, or just go to the website, click on the podcast, and find this podcast episode. And I'll also add a link to this in the show notes. I would love to hear from you about how you picture your child in heaven. And I hope it stirs up a bit of excitement in you when you're doing that. Like I said, it doesn't take away the pain, but oh my goodness, can you just hear the excitement in my voice just thinking about heaven and when we get there and when we're together? It makes me think of the line of that old hymn, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be," right? Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Yes, it will be so fantastic. So I really hope that this podcast episode has just been an encouragement to you. It's easy to get bogged down in life here on earth, but we are citizens of heaven. And wow, what a glorious day it's going to be, right? When we get there with our children. These three thoughts about heaven were taken from the My Grief Journey book. Now, this is a unique book I put together several years ago, and it's more than something you just read. I would consider it a hands-on approach to help us work through some of the emotions we deal with as bereavers. There are 42 words that have to do with our grief journey. Each word has its own page. These words are things like numb, shock, confusion, regret, fear, tears, time, memories, family, heaven, trust, peace, future, purpose. I think you can see all of these words have something to do with this journey that we're on, right? Now, each of these words, like I said, they have their own page. And these pages can be colored if you like to color. You don't have to. Each page also has a journaling prompt that has to do with that word to help you write out your thoughts on each word. And experts say journaling is a strong way to help process our deep grief. And I know a lot of people say, I can't journal. That's just not my thing. I don't know what to write. And that's one thing that's so good about this book is that each word has a prompt. It starts you with a thought and then you finish that thought. Now, all of these words also have a little something that I wrote about that word, which makes it a really good book. If you're in such a fog, you can't really retain very many words on a page. There's not a whole lot to read here about each word. So, you know, if you're dealing with confusion, just turn to that page about confusion and read what the little bit that it says about that. And each word also has a scripture with it. Now, after this book was released, we had so many Perivers ask about one for their kids who had lost their sibling that we came out with a kids version as well. It's a bit simplified, not quite as many words, but we also added the word truth in the kids book because it seems like there's often something our kids hold on to that we don't even realize they're caring about their sibling's death. Maybe they think it was their fault and we don't even realize it. Or something they misunderstood about the death that's just really heavy for them to carry. And so putting this word truth in the book is an open door for them to share something with you that may not be quite true. Now, for those children who can't read or write yet, there are blank pages so they can draw a picture of each journaling prompt. And these two books can be done together by the parent and the child so that you can both work through some of these difficult things together. You can both be coloring the word anger and talking about it. You can both be coloring the word or talking about the word family while they draw a picture. Now, I'll also add that the My Grief Journey for Kids is not just for sibling loss, but this kids one is for any deep loss they've had, like a parent or anyone. Now, you can find out more about these books by going to gpshope.org/mygriefjourney. Now, this also has a link to the kids book, and I'll put a link to both of those books in the show notes. Now, I also mentioned earlier in the podcast episode about the weekly Word of Hope. This is sent out each Wednesday. Now, just to let you know, this is an email I received just this week, and a Perivere says, "Hello, Laura. Hope you're doing well. The weekly Word of Hope means so much to me and helps me a lot every week. I'm checking my email every minute because I'm so excited to get the weekly Word of Hope email. Thank you for being there for us. May God bless you." Now, if you would like to start receiving this weekly Word of Hope, just go to gpshope.org/hope. We don't spam you. We don't send out a bunch of other emails, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Now, I'll put a link to that as well in the show notes. A lot of links this week, right? Let's go on to our birthday segment. These birthdays are from February 9th to February 22nd. Sean Kraus was born on February 19th and left us at age 24. Jason Zimdars was born on February 20th and left us at age 35. Mark Patrick King II was born on February 22nd and left us at age 29. We celebrate the day these three came into the world. We know it will always be a very special and important day and worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced to the other listeners and shared, I would love to be able to do that. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays, fill out the needed information there, including the pronunciation of your child's name, if sometimes it gets mispronounced, because I do want to say it correctly for you. Just submit that information, and the podcast episode that is for their birthday, I will announce them for you. Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen. I want to say thank you again to the anonymous couple sponsorship of today's episode in honor of their daughter, Cassandra. Now, here's another link I'm going to give you. If you would like to sponsor an episode in honor of your child, it's just a $50 donation to the Ministry of GPS Hope. Just go to the website, gpshope.org, click on the Sponsor a Podcast Episode under the Donate tab, and that'll be another link that will be in the show notes. I do want to close by going back to something the dad wrote, which is that whole trying to build a 10,000-piece puzzle in the dark. Isn't that a great description of our grief when our child leaves this earth? It's something that seems absolutely impossible, but then a very dim light starts to shine and we can see the smallest bit to put in just a few pieces. And then just like this dad says, my hope grows and I recognize God's presence just as scripture tells us. I also recognize that it is up to me to allow more of his light to come in if I want to make progress with this puzzle and keep hope alive. Now, as we each learn to live from a place that this world is not our home, and yet this is still where we are, may we all grow in the hope of God's light that becomes brighter and brighter until we are with Him and with our children face to face, no matter how long that takes. So until then, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.